Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Okay, founders, we are talking to you specifically this week. We have some interesting strategies for you. And in fact, if you're not using these strategies, you could be missing out on doubling your ACV year over year. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about founder-led sales for startups. He started in sales in 2000 as an inside sales representative selling technology and training to executives at the largest investment banks and brokerages in the world. He finished number one nationally, was promoted to manager and then senior manager. And in his next sales role, he became a multi-year President's Club winner and equity holder through creating his own go-to-market strategy and execution plan. And this experience launched him into a leadership position at a new organization where he was responsible for transforming a struggling business unit into the top performing office, generating $30 million annual recurring revenue in the process. He's the founder of WhaleBoss, where he helps founders and revenue leaders implement 7- and 8-figure sales operating systems in less than 3 months. And he's here to talk to us today. Ryan Staley, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Happy to be here. Love the intro. I'm going to record that and just use that for my show. So thank you, Sarah. Oh,
you're so welcome. So let's talk about from kind of the beginning, because we're talking about the strategies that you need to be able to, you know, be making more revenue as you go. And it comes down to numbers and metrics a lot of the time. So what metrics, numbers at a kind of a foundation should founders even be looking at?
Sure. Yeah. So, there's a lot of different ways you could go with this, but I'll make it hyper simple, right? So this is all assuming you have product market fit, that whole buzzy word product market fit that people leverage all the time. So there's the demand gen, which obviously you folks specialize in. And then that's on the marketing side slash outbound sales side. So looking at those metrics and making sure that depending on the deal size that you have, your reps calendars are full, right? And then once you get that solidified, the number one thing, or I should say the kind of the top few things that I look at are basically the average deal size. I look at the average deal size. I look at the speed, how fast the deals are going through the sales cycle, not just in total, but by stage. And then on top of it too, is the conversion rates, right? So like what's the conversion rate at each step in the process all the way from first appointment to close? And so those are kind of the key metrics that I look at, and there's a lot of buzzwords we could use like MQLs, SQLs, and things like that. That's more your sweet spot, I would say. So I'm not going to get into that, but that's what I would focus on.
Those are like the primary, most important, like just foundational elements you need to be factoring in. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other areas too. Like we'll get into this a little bit later, so I don't want to derail it here. So I'll let you keep going.
Okay. Perfect. Well, I think we're probably heading in the same direction, but you've got these three core operating systems that founders can follow as they move through attempting to scale through founder-led sales. Walk us through those.
Okay, sure. So what I would like to do though, before I go through those is there's kind of like the tip of the spear that I realized when I was a rep. And then I also looked at this when I was a sales leader, and it basically created exponential growth instead of incremental growth. And it's one of those things that so many people pass over. And so if you look at it, everybody, I just gave a talk to about 500 different revenue leaders. And I always ask like after I do a talk, like, hey, what did you find most impactful? Or what did you find the most interesting? And this came up repeatedly because people are reaching out to me like, that was amazing. That was awesome. I'm like, okay, cool. What did you like? You know? And so anyways, the one thing that they brought up, and this is foundational, is what I call the perfect customer profile. So essentially it's taking what would be your ICP. And if you're like ICP had a baby with Pareto's principle, that would be the outcome of what the PCP is. And so like, Do you watch sports a lot at all or no? Are you a sports fan?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. So, well, let me give a sports example because this is very basic. So a good example of this would be like whether it doesn't matter the sport. It could be basketball, it could be football, it could be soccer, men's, women's, doesn't matter, right? So the professional sports, they all have a draft every single year. And in that draft, they have a first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round. And the first round picks are always the most highly coveted. So one of the things that I see most common is people map out their ideal customer profile, like who's the ideal customer, but they don't take it to the next level. And that's what really creates, like, it's almost like, it's like turbocharging your car, like getting nitrous, like, and you see in the Fast and Furious movies, where instead of going from like 0 to 60 in like 8 seconds, they go to 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. And so essentially what it is basically, it'd be like having a draft, having a team where it's all first round picks. Like every single person on your team is a first round pick, but translate that to your pipeline. So it's like having the best of the best, like the 20% of your customers, they create 80% of your revenue, but that's all that's in the pipeline. And so it's really like leveraging that as kind of a starting point, because once I did that as a rep, I saw, I'm like, okay, well, what would happen? You know, I studied like who were the best and why were they doing it? And why did they hit their quota 9 months in and working 30 hours a week? Well, it took me 12 months and I worked 60-70 hours a week, right? And so this is what came to the surface. I did that and it literally, I think I bumped up to like 140% of quota from there. And then at the same time, what it did is it allowed me to work probably 20 hours less a week. And so so that's what I also applied as a sales leader. And so that's how we grew to that 30 million ARR with only 4 salespeople. So that's step one. So before I move on to that, you got any questions? I know I just dropped a lot on you.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I know that we're going to talk about more of the kind of, you know, putting that in practice and kind of process in the three core operating systems. But so we're thinking about this from like an outbound perspective, right? This is like targeting, and then you go out and you generate these conversations rather than that being something that you implement with, I don't know, marketing with founder-led sales. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, you would definitely implement it with outbound. So I thought it would align with your audience with that. Mm-hmm. However, it works with marketing. It works with any kind of function. Like even if you have, you know, field events or conferences or anything, there's a way to be that hyper focused. So it's basically just religiously focusing on the cream of the crop and then making your whole pipeline full of that.
Yeah, makes sense. Sounds good.
Okay. So that's number one. Okay. So then moving on to the operating system. So I know you brought that up. So yeah, there's really three of them. And that I look at for an enterprise sales motion or even a mid-market motion, anything that's complex, it's not highly transactional, high speed, you know, a month or less. So we're talking deals that are 3 months or more, or they could be what I look at is maybe $30,000 or more, right? And it works from that level all the way up to, we did a $20 million contract with Amazon, Whole Foods. So there's a large range that it applies to. But the first one is really applying what I just told you about that 20-80 principle in terms of who you're targeting. And then what you execute on is essentially looking at doubling your deal size year over year, your average deal size. Okay. And so the core operating system is really looking at, because there's sales methodologies out there. And so let me ask you this, Sarah, what's your thoughts on sales methodologies? I just talked to a lot of people about this today. So what's your opinion on it?
I think there are the like kind of older traditional sales methodologies, which little bits of them, I think, apply moving forward. But I do think a lot of them need like a big old refresh. And there's not necessarily like the modern sales methodology that I think applies today. That's how I feel about them.
Exactly. Okay. So we're in alignment there. So we're going to get along because I don't have anything wrong with them. Like there's like 17 out there right now, but I talked to like 20 revenue leaders and I've talked to founders most of the time aren't totally aware of them. So this is more of like, once you start getting like hyper-focused, and I think out of 20 of them, not a single one only used one. They had to combine multiple pieces of them together and kind of kludge it together. So this primary operating system, and I call it a system because it's not a methodology. It's really stacking strategy, process, and then execution all the way down to what you say, when you say it, who you say it to, and the order you say it in, so that it's fully comprehensive. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I mean by, I call it the whale scale operating system. And that's the first one, which allowed us to basically move from deal sizes that were 30 to 70K to, you know, basically 700K to 20 million over a period of 4 to 5 years. So it almost 100x the deal size by leveraging that PCP principle and then leveraging the strategy, the process, and the execution. So that's the first one. So any questions on that?
I don't think so. All pretty clear.
Okay. I'll keep rolling then. Okay. So then the second one is what I call the exponential expansion engine. And it's so crazy because so many SaaS founders have like done amazing at their product and they have the front end. So they got the primary sales engine figured out. However, what I'll find is they'll have 94% retention rate, 95, 96% retention rate. And guess what they don't do after they sell the deal? They don't talk to their customers. Oh. They don't have a freaking secondary sales process in place. Okay. Right. And this doesn't need to be like, there's the buzz, you know, customer success, or we have account managers. That's not what I'm talking about. This is completely different because a lot of times that's more supporting them, responding to needs. And this is more proactively finding out, okay, rate us. Like, what's our rating scale, 1 through 5? And I know some customer success do that, but it allows you to get product feedback. But at the same time, amp up your brand on G2 or Capterra or whatever your ratings are in a systematic way. The other thing it does, it allows you to provide value while you're selling. And so CS is more looked at as kind of a nurturing, I think, like take care of the customer process, which it is, right? You want to take care of your customers after the fact. But if you seed and sell the entire time that you're doing that, you're not only providing value to the customer, but then you're providing, you're really truly understanding like what the biggest problems they have and then continually solving them. And then what it's going to do is basically massively amp up the amount that every average customer spends with you. Okay. So I'll give you an example. Have you heard of Palantir before?
No.
Okay. So it's a Peter Thiel company. It's like, I don't know. It's almost like this weird company that people know about, but they don't know about. It's like 40 billion. It's valued at 40 billion and they're at $1 billion in revenue. So they have 60% of their revenue from their top 20 clients, which is pretty impressive. And most people don't think that you could get to $1 billion in revenue by doing that. They did, right? So the secondary part, which is cool, and I can't remember the stats, but Salesforce, HubSpot, they leverage this as well. And basically what it is Palantir adds, so think about this. Think about how mind-blowing these numbers get. They basically get 36% more revenue from their clients every single year, from their existing clients. Hmm. Okay. And so we applied this same methodology before Palantir even I knew existed or anything like that. But then I found out some of these other really big companies and unicorns are applying some of the same principles. So what I'm basically saying is think about the engine that has is if you get customers in and then you grow them by 36% year over year, that's explosive growth without a lot of additional people.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the second one. Any questions on that?
No, that's just, yeah, that's crazy. 36% from existing customers is, yeah, it makes sense then that you can scale, as you mentioned, with like 4 salespeople, because so much of the adding in revenue is not actually on the shoulders of your like net new business motion. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And then this is where it like, so you got your primary one, your secondary one, and they're stacked. They're like the foundation, right? And then on top of it, you have this beautiful, what I call the referral operating system. And so a lot of people look at referrals as word of mouth or basically a means to just reactively come in. And so, you know, I started looking into this because I was at a conference and there was 5,000 entrepreneurs there and Tony Robbins was there. I don't know if, do you know Tony Robbins at all? Do you see any of his stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. You're smiling. So he's got like a polarizing yeah. kind of reaction for people. Either like he's personal development, but he was actually rated by Amex as like one of the top 5 business consulting coaches in the world. And so there's some really good stuff. And he basically asked the question, he goes, okay, how many, and these are all business owners. These are all founders, business owners. He's like, how many people in the room have a referral system in place that they measure KPIs on a daily basis? How many have one, right? And out of the 5,000 people, there is maybe, I don't know, 7% of the people that raise their hand. And he goes, okay, how many people have 2 in place? And he goes, I want everybody that has 2 in place, or actually they didn't raise their hand. They stood up. He goes, how many people have 2 in place? He's like, if you don't have 2 in place, sit down. And it went all the way down to like maybe 300 people in the room, 350 people in the room. And he goes, okay, that's the single best way to double the size of your company repeatedly. And I was like, so that really stuck with me. And then I started thinking about like how we got that Amazon Whole Foods deal was through a referral. Yeah, that was a $20 million deal. That changed the entire direction of the company because we later got a PE investment and an exit. And we grew from 20 million to 380 million. So it was like, okay, so it was like the light bulb started going off. So I started digging into this deeper and I found out that Tesla actually uses this. And so Tesla has a referral program and guess what version they're on? Any ideas?
Like a lot.
They're on version 9, right? So they're on version 9 and they got a third of their Model S cars sold through referrals, which is absolutely amazing. Slack actually got 97% of their users through referrals. Dropbox grew 35% month over month through referrals. So basically what I'm like, okay, so when you look at mid-market, you look at enterprise, these are the customers that you invest so much time and energy into relationships. So why aren't companies tapping into that? Right. And so basically I created a four-prong system on scaling customer referrals. And the beautiful output of it is, Sarah, is that deals will close in sometimes 75%, half the amount of time as a normal deal because of the transfer of brand and trust from a colleague or a trusted peer. And then in addition, the deal sizes are 125 and 150% larger because of the fact that they're not like bidding it out to everybody and their mother, even though it's a larger deal size because of that inherent trust that's already brought in.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely beautiful. And there's like four steps to it. And those four steps are really simple. So it's the pathways, the type of incentive that you have, the emotional peaks that the customer has, and then the sales process. So the behavior design, like how do you align the customer emotional peaks with the sales process? And then last but not least, it's persuasion. It's really leveraging. I love Robert Cialdini's work. Have you heard him? Mm-hmm. Read his book, Influence at All or Persuasion?
Bits of it, yeah.
It's pretty long. It's pretty long. It's like 500 pages. But when you stack all those together, you start to create a new category of, I hit my mic. I'm so excited. You start to create a new category of opportunities that come in that's different from outbound and it's different from inbound. It's that middle category which is called referrals. So,
yeah, cool. Can you talk me through, you talked about there were like the different elements there of the creating great referral, you know, programs or processes. Can you talk me through in a little bit more detail each of those?
Sure. So pathways. So when you look at pathways are essentially like the carrot. And it's so funny because everybody's like, okay, let's do a referral program. Let's give them a gift card or let's give them money, you know? And usually that's the worst incentive. It could be modules if you're selling SaaS or seats because there's no cost to that. It could be a knowledge package of the biggest mistakes customers have after they implement your software or the best processes or procedures. So it could be knowledge. It could be a peer connection. It could be, you know, there's a lot of different where it could even be a charitable organization, right? So everybody they refer, they get that kind of component to it. So that's the first one. Then the emotional peaks is if you think about the emotional experience of a buying process, especially when you're dealing with bigger deal sizes, you know, it's going to go up and down, right? Because like, If somebody buys into a big deal, one of the biggest fears that they have is if they mess up, that they'll get fired, right? So when something goes right, like when they first make that decision, it's like, I don't know. It's almost like getting married. You know what I mean? Like to the vendor, if you're in like a hyper serious relationship and you're like, okay, I'm so excited. And then, you know, everything goes great. Then you start planning for the wedding. You're like, oh, this kind of sucks right now, but it'll be better. Right. And then you get to the wedding. You're like, this is amazing. Right. You know what I mean? So you go through those emotional experiences. So people go through that as well when they buy. And so there might be a peak, like when someone buys, there might be a peak for the first big win that they have, like proving that what they just bought is going to like kill it. And so it's really understanding those and aligning with those. Okay. And then the next one is the process. And so I look at that. Have you heard of the book Tiny Habits at all?
It's ringing a bell, but I couldn't tell you specifically.
Okay. So Tiny Habits is the research behind Atomic Habits, which James Clear wrote, which is probably what you might've heard of because it's very mainstream. It's nonfiction. It's, I don't know. He sold a ton of books, but basically he took BJ Fogg's class, which wrote Tiny Habits, who's a professor at Stanford. And what happened is So he started putting on workshops. He started teaching outside of this because he did 30 years of behavior design on why people do what they do and how they make decisions. And so basically he had two students in his class. They applied this principle, created a network, a social network. And 16 months later, they sold it for $1 billion. And that network is called Instagram. And so basically I take the behavior design strategy that Instagram uses and apply it to this referral process. Yeah. And then align it with the sales process as well. So it's super simple and easy to implement. So that's step three. And then step four is, and here's a real great example, because you could get lost in that book like we're talking about, because it's so big, that influence book. And so what you'll see is in that book, there's a story about a turkey, and that turkey has babies every year. And I think the most they could have is like 17. It's called a clutch, which sounds totally random, but it's a clutch, right? So you got all these little turkey eggs. And basically when the mother turkey has those babies every year, they evaluate, or that mother bird, I should say, evaluates whether they should kill, care, or ignore their eggs. And there's only basically one mechanism they use to do that. And it's two words. You know what those words are? It's cheep, cheep, right? So if the babies are saying cheep, cheep to the mama, then the mama knows that those are like her babies, right? So like literally the mom will not take care of their own firstborn, not firstborn, but their own many born if they're not responding back or reciprocating that messaging. They even took it a step further and they stuffed a polecat, which is like a mortal enemy of the turkey, and made that sound. And the turkey basically took care of the stuffed animal, even though it was like looking like its enemy. So you're like, Ryan, how the hell does that have to do and relate to anything with referrals? Or you, the listener, is probably thinking, Ryan, how does this have to relate with referrals? So the way it relates with referrals is because just like turkeys have mental shortcuts that they take, humans do as well. And so 90% of the decisions we make on a day in and day out basis are through our subconscious. And so basically it's tapping into that subconscious and the mental shortcuts that people take through an influence strategy to execute on that. And people organically will start to ask you, if you do it the right way, oh, that's amazing, how do I help you? And then that's when you kind of go in for the referral. So
yeah, very interesting. Cool. It's just getting my wheels turning about all these different ways to, yeah, where some of those peaks that you're talking about might be and all that kind of stuff. It's a really interesting strategy. Okay, cool. So we've talked through kind of starting at the very beginning, the foundation, which of course is having that product market fit, making sure you're actually, you know, selling to the right people. But then when you're defining your ICP, you take it further. It's not just here are the like great fit, potential fit, kind of not great fit in one category, but how can you take that a step further with the Pareto principle and say like, okay, if we're going 80-20 rule, how can I make sure that all of my pipeline is just that 20? And exactly. Then we've got the three operating systems, which is then how to, it's like, it's not the methodology, but it is the kind of process to continue and take you through the funnel and make sure exactly. You're making money at every stage.
Yeah. It's how to build out a team. And so like, if you're a founder doing this on your own, like you could still apply those three components. Cause like, for example, there might be a sales process that they have, but they don't leverage the PCP component on top of it. Mm-hmm. So they're working a lot harder than they need to be to get results that are 1/10 of what they would get if they did that, you know? And then the secondary side, like once again, you don't need a big team. You could do it if you're still growing from that founder-led side. You just have to be cognizant, okay, like of, and it depends on your model, depends on your solution, all that afterwards, to constantly understand the new problems and then you solve those. And then last but not least, it's following that 4-step framework.
Yeah, exactly. And making money, not even off the net new. Maybe you're doing a, what was the name of that company that's 40 bill?
Oh, Palantir. Yeah, Palantir. Yeah.
Doing a them and growing 36%. Month over month, or yeah, year over year, month over month. What was it?
Annually, 36. Right. I wish it was okay. Month. The month over month was Dropbox that I was talking about with the referrals, but no, 36%. So like someone spends, you know, 100K a year, their customers on average year two, they'd be spending 136,000.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So that's how stupid it gets fast.
Awesome. Well, in a good way. Yeah, in a very, very good way. Well, thank you so much. That's so interesting. So many things to kind of chew over there and put into practice. If people want to learn more from you, if they want to get in touch with you, where can they do that?
Sure. So feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. And on LinkedIn, basically, you'll see in my profile, there's an application to book a call with me. If you want help in implementing these systems, it's I love working with founders. They're changing the world. And I think they're a combination of rock stars, mythological creatures, and superheroes all wrapped into one because of what they go through to do that. So just Ryan Staley on LinkedIn. And then also I have a podcast called The Scale Up Show. You love podcasts. Feel free to jump on. I'm just relaunching. It was the Sales and Marketing Built Freedom Show, but it's more catered specifically for founders, just like yours is. So yeah, so that's the best way to get connected with me.
Nice. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ryan, on the Predictable Revenue Podcast. And thank you to all of you guys for joining us for another episode. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on YouTube so that you can be notified every week as we bring on amazing guests like Ryan Staley to talk about how to do your sales better and just be bigger, better, make the money, all the stuff that we want to be doing. So thank you again, Ryan, for joining us.
It was awesome being on. Thanks a lot, Sarah.